ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 31, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Na te viduhu sva artham gatim hi vishnum durashayaha ye bahihi artha maninaha andhaha yatha andhaihi upaniyamanaha te api isha tantriyam uru dāmni badhāha na te vidu svartha gatim hi viṣṇum durāśayā ye bahirārtha māninaha whoops māninaha andhāyathāndhāi rupaniyamānās te pisha tantriyam urudam nibadhaha na te vidu svartha gatim hi viṣṇum durāśayā ye bahirārtha māninaha andhāyathāndhāi rupaniyamānās te pisha tantriyam urudam nibadhāha na te vidu svartha gatim hi viṣṇum durāśayā ye bahirārtha māninaha andhāyathāndhāi rupaniyamānās te pisha tantriyam urudam nibadhāha na te vidu svartha gatim hi viṣṇum durāśayā ye bahirārtha māninaha andhāyathāndhāi rupaniyamānās te pisha tantriyam urudam nibadhāha na te vidu svartha gatim hi viṣṇum śayā ye bahirārtha māninaha andhāyathāndhāi rupaniyamānās te pisha tantriyam urudam nibadhāha. Ladies, please. Na te vidu svartha gatim hi viṣṇum durāśayā ye bahirārtha māninaha andhāyathāndhāi rupaniyamānās Tepi Satantra Murudam Nibadhaha. Na. Not. Te. They. Viduhu. No. Swa. Artha. Gatim. The ultimate goal of life. Or their own real self-interest. Or their own real interest. He, indeed, Vishnum, Lord Vishnu, and his abode, Durashayaha, being ambitious to enjoy this material world. Yay, who? Bahihi, external sense objects. Artamaninaha, considering as valuable. Andhaha, persons who are blind. Yatha, just as. Andhahi, by other blind men. Upaniyamanaha, being led. Te, they. Api, although. Isha, tantriyam, to the ropes, laws of material nature. Uru, having very strong. Damni, cords. Badhaha, bound. Verse translation. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similar blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men, guided by another blind man, miss the right path and fall into a ditch. Materially attached men, led by another materially attached man, are bound by the ropes of fruitive labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Purport. This is Prahlad speaking to Hiranyakashipu. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Since there must always be a difference of opinion between demons and devotees, Hiranyakashipu, when criticized by his son, Prahlad Maharaj, should not have been surprised that Prahlad Maharaj differed from his way of life. Nonetheless, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and wanted to rebuke his son for deriding his teacher or spiritual master, who had been born in the Brahmana family of the great Acharya Shukra Acharya. The word Shukra means semen, and Acharya refers to a teacher or guru. Hereditary gurus or spiritual masters have been accepted everywhere since time immemorial, but Prahlad Maharaj declined to accept such a seminal guru or take instruction from him. An actual guru is Shrutriya, one who has heard or received perfect knowledge through Parampara, the disciplic succession. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. Bahir Artha Maninaha. The word Bahihi means external, Artha means interest, and Manina means taking very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialists is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers, who are simply interested in this material world, are described in this verse as andha, blind. Such blind men may lead many other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions. But they are not accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind teachers, being interested in the external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. Nate vidu swarzagatin hi vishnum durashaya ye bahirartamaninaha andhayatan dhayarupaniyamanas te pishatan triam urudam nibadhaha. Om jnanati mirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Nama shriktam manamapi shatiputra matra swarupam rupam tasya grajam urupurim maturim goshtavitim. Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika matavasham prapta yasya pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Natosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atafdata Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Those who regularly read Srila Prabhupada's books and listen to the recordings of his lectures and conversations will know that this is among the verses that he regularly quoted. Nate vidu swarzagatin hi vishnam, he quoted often, and antayatandhaya, he quoted this also often. This is a common example, the blind leading the blind. It's not only in the Bhagavatam, it's found elsewhere also. The position of those, they don't know what their real goal of life is. This is the position of everyone in the material world, which is, it's a pathetic condition, very... It seems amazing. No one actually knows what their real self-interest is. They are apaswarta parayana, attached to that which is against their real interest. What could be more absurd condition than to be attached to something which is harmful for oneself? But we see, people are attached to smoking cigarettes, for instance, which even if they accept that the body is the self, then it's harmful for the body. But they don't even know that thinking of the body as oneself, that immediately disqualifies one from knowing what one's real self-interest is, because one doesn't know what the self is. I spoke on this term, swarthagati, in the last two talks I gave in course of discussion of the name of the Supreme Lord in the Vishnu Sahasranam, Shreyas, or if combined with the word after that, then Shreyas Sriman. Now, today, I want to speak on this also very important. There's so many important words. What to speak of the verse being important? Even each word is so important. This term, Durashaya, is another very important term which describes the situation within the material world. Dur means bad or wrong, duhu, as in duk. Duratna, we have mahatna, duratna, sukriti, dushkriti, so the du at the beginning signifies something which is bad or wrong and or undesirable. Asha means hope, expectation. Very broadly it can be considered as desire. So this verse says that people, they do not know that their real goal of life is Vishnu, and their hoping in the wrong way, bahirartama, everything which is actually external to them, they're considering to be very important. So in this way they're bewildered. And that bewilderment is compounded by being led, accepting the leadership of persons who are blind like them, thinking that this person can show us the way. It happens before every election, doesn't it? Just like in America, they make a big thing of the election in the USA because it's the world's most powerful country, so I'll be very humble. Trump! He comes in and amazingly, America hasn't become just like heaven under Trump, although it might be thought like that. And then this Narendra Modi was being elected Acheh Din. It means good days. That was the slogan, Acheh Din, good days. And it's the same old miserable life, that's all. Just instead of having one person giving you empty promises, someone else does. So this durasha, this word, durasha means bad hope, or hope that is not fulfilled. It's a hope. And the very fact that they're hoping means that they're not... If someone's hoping for something, it means they're not happy now, but they're hoping in future I'll be happy. So the very fact that we're always hoping in future things will be better means that we're not happy now, but we hope to be happy in future. They don't think that, well, I've been hoping like that for millions of lifetimes, and so has everyone else. When I was in the body of a camel, I was looking at that most beautiful she camel, thinking, oh, what beautiful legs, and what a beautiful mouth she has. And unfortunately, she got married to someone else. So... Or you got married and then she just kicked you. So we're always hoping. Even if we're a pig, we're very happy, we're very fat, and we're hoping life will go on like this, and then one day the throat is cut, killed. So hoping. Always trying to be happy, but never happy. So this durasha means bad hope. That means hoping in a bad way. That could mean hoping in a bad way. That means to be, if someone is very bad, some people are very bad, and they have very bad desires. Someone may not be so bad. He may be foolish, but not so bad. He may think that, well, let me try to help everyone in the world. So that's, someone will say, well, that's good, isn't it, to want to help others. So that idea to help others, it's good, but it still is durasha, because unless we know how to actually help people, we can't help them. The example Srila Prabhupada gave is, if you see a man drowning and swim out and come back with his shirt, I saved his shirt. What a fool. This is mundane welfare activity, trying to save the body, but not understanding that the person inside the body is to be saved. But certainly a person who thinks, let us try to help others, let us try to make others happy, they are better than the demons whose basic outlook is described in Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna. This is how a full-fledged demon thinks. Idamadya maya labdham imam prapse manoratam idamastidam api me bhavishyati punardhanam asao maya hatashatur hanishre chaparanapi ishvaro ham aham bhogi siddho ham balavan suki ardhyo bijanavan asmi konyo sti sadrisho maya yakshe dasyami modisha itya jnana vimohitaha. The demoniac person thinks, this is durasha, wrong kind of hoping, bad thinking. So much wealth do I have today, and I will gain more according to my scheme. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future, more and more. He is my enemy, and I have killed him, and my other enemies will also be killed. I am the Lord of everything. I am the enjoyer. I am perfect. powerful, and happy. I am the richest man surrounded by aristocratic relatives. There is none so powerful and happy as I am. I shall perform sacrifices. I shall give some charity. And thus I shall rejoice. In this way such persons are deluded by ignorance. Aneka chitta vibhranta mohajala samavritaha prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti narakeshu chao. Thus perplexed by various anxieties and bound by a network of illusions, they become too strongly attached to sense enjoyment and fall down to hell. So for all their thinking, I'm so powerful, I'm so happy, I'll do some more schemes, I'll consolidate my position, but their position is that they are aneka chitta vibhranta. They're just completely bewildered by so many anxieties. So those are people who are durasha. They're planning in a bad way. Another means, durasha means to hope for something which is hopeless, which means to hope to be happy in this material world. The beginning of spiritual life really begins when one accepts that this material world is miserable. So as long as one is trying to be happy in this material world is durasha, because everyone in the material world has been trying since time immemorial to be happy in the material world, and no one has succeeded yet, and no one has given up yet. Few have given up, and then they become spiritualists. But most people, even though they're beaten, or in this example, tied up by the strong cords of material life, they're hopeful. Everything will be very nice. People take shelter in money. They think, I'll get money. Let me get money. I desire to be very wealthy. Then I can buy whatever I like. But by buying things, they don't become happy. People generally think, if I have lots of money, then I'll be happy. But then if you see wealthy people, they're not particularly happy more than anyone else. And often then they're in more anxiety than others. So that's a durasha, the desire. First of all, the desire to be wealthy. Most people desire to be more wealthy than they are. But even if they get the wealth that they desire, still they won't be satisfied. So in that way it's a bad hope. And it won't make them happy either. So it may appear to people who are less wealthy that if someone has more wealth, then they're more happy, because you see the poor man is walking on the street and the rich man is going in a big car, and he definitely has a sense of superiority, and the poor man has a sense of inferiority. But that doesn't translate into happiness. People have no idea what actual happiness is, because they don't know who they are actually. They don't know the difference between happiness and pleasure. Happiness is a state of consciousness, state of mind. And pleasure means the interaction of the senses with the sense objects, which is wrongly understood by foolish people to be actual happiness. I mean, even materialistically speaking, people can be happy with very, very little. Of course, if one has no food, no means to feed the family, no home, that means a lot of suffering, no doubt, for someone who's in such a situation. If they get a little money, that could alleviate their sufferings very much. But then if they get more money, it won't help them that much. If you have enough money to feed your family, if you get more money, well, still they can't eat any more. Maybe you can feed them some fancy foods. But that also doesn't necessarily make people any more happy. So it's this great illusion. And most people, if they think about it, or many people, they'll agree, yeah, money doesn't make you happy. But still, because they have no clear idea of what makes us happy, then they generally desire to have money. And that's why the lottery is a big business. Because people desire to get money. If people didn't desire to get lots of money, then why would they buy a lottery ticket? So it just goes to show, as people do, they do want to get lots of money. They say, no, I'm not much interested in money. Bye-bye lottery. Yes. And if they win, does it make them happy? No. People can be happy with very, very little. And often we see the poorer people, they're laughing and joking, and they don't have so many worries about, they're not worried about burglars because there's nothing to burgle. They're not worried about losing anything because there's nothing to lose. So even materially, people can be happy with very little. And yet they want so much. They desire to have so much. Actually, this is very prominent in the modern age. It wasn't so much previously that people would desire to have so many things. But especially in the modern age with advertising and the consumer society, and people are very interested to have the latest iPhone, iPad, this, that, and the other. They're very concerned to get more and more things. Although previously, it wasn't like that. Just like among the Eskimos. The Eskimos, they're living, they have no idea. In the old society, I don't know what Eskimos are doing nowadays, but if you're just living in the snow, then how many desires can you have? You have a bigger house, that means you have to work harder to build it. And how many fish can you eat anyway? Among the Eskimos, it's prestigious how many dogs you have. Because they have these dogs which pull the sleds. There's probably no word for sled in Tamil. It's a kind of vahanam that's pulled by dogs or reindeer over the snow. So there's no snow even imagined in Tamil Nadu. There's maybe a word for it, but it's not even imaginable in Tamil Nadu. Any more than cyclones are imaginable in Eskimo land, I guess. Maybe.
I don't know.
Anyway, people can... So how would the Eskimo get his material happiness? Maybe some anthropologist could tell us, but it wouldn't be from desiring more and more things. There's nothing to desire. So what are you going to desire? It's very... It's very prominent in the modern age. The modern age has made people more and more unhappy by instilling in them desires to have more and more things. And then they become more and more frustrated. And they call that advancement, that if you have more freedom to pursue your desires and indulge in your desires, although people don't know the science of how to live happily. Even materially speaking, the more desires we have, the more frustrated you become. There's a very good saying, I'll just say it, listen carefully. You can never get enough of what you don't need. You got that? You can never get enough of what you don't need. If you don't need it, then you can't get enough of it. Because you don't, enough is zero. But then people say, I need to have more fashion clothes. One house isn't enough. I need two houses, three houses. You don't need all these things. But you can never get enough. Because you don't need it, but in the mind there's a feeling, I have to have this. So people, they pursue wealth, fame, or they dream about it in their mind. Some of them, among all the people who are trying to or dreaming of becoming great in some way, few people may. And then if they suddenly get some news, they get the exam results. I came top in all of India. Means one person and they become top in the engineering exam. So they're feeling very elated. And everyone else is feeling and they're feeling elated. But it doesn't satisfy the soul. This material ambition does not satisfy the soul. It is durasha. It is external. Bahirartha manina. It is bahirartha. It's external to our real self. So, just this simple point. Everything that everyone desires in this material world, everything that they're striving for, even if they got it all, they couldn't be satisfied. And the great example is Hiranyakashipu, who Prahlad is speaking to in this verse. He got everything. He ruled over the whole universe. The demigods were afraid of him. He wasn't even afraid of death, but still he wasn't satisfied because he was acting on the external platform. They take shelter in durasha. For most people are not successful to the extent of Hiranyakashipu. And they're simply hoping, even though they're being frustrated in so many ways. A great example, there are so many examples. A great example is Jarasandha, who attacked Mathura with Krishna there and was thoroughly defeated. Krishna alone killed his whole army and let him go, which is a great insult for Kshatriya. If you let them go, that means you're so insignificant, I can't even be bothered to kill you or imprison you. You're no threat to me whatsoever. Okay, just go. Go, go. So it's very insulting. So Jarasandha, he was completely frustrated and discouraged. And he thought, well, now I'll just live as a mendicant for the rest of my life. And then his friends say, no, come on, you're a great guy. You were just unlucky today, that's all. You go and get a new army together, and when you're ready, come and attack again. So he was completely smashed, but still he thought, yeah, I'll come again. Next time I'll do it for sure. And this went on 17 times. I mean, someone might be a fool once, twice, but 17 times he got smashed. And he came one time again. And he thought that Krishna ran away from out of fear. He didn't think that, well, 17 times he absolutely and thoroughly, totally smashed me. Then why is he afraid this time? He didn't think like this. I'm so great. You see, he ran away from me. What a fool. But he's going on as a great personality. So he was taking shelter in the hope that sometime I will defeat Krishna, and his so-called friends were egging him on, as the saying goes. So instead of taking shelter of these bad desires or these impossible to fulfill desires, I will conquer Krishna, then it's better to take shelter of Krishna. Instead of taking shelter of some desire that cannot be fulfilled, take shelter of Krishna. What's that famous verse? Taking shelter of Krishna, saranyam. From Bhagavatam, Brahma's prayers. Anyone? Samashrita. Now you can say it. Samashrita ye padapallava plavang mahatpadang punya yasho morare he. Bhavam bhadir vatsa padang parang padang. Padang padang nad vipadang yate sham. Oh, that's not the right. Sharan, yeah. So the whole material world, no, it's the wrong verse. Anyway, it's a good verse. So Maharshita ye padda pallava plavang mahatpadang punya yashomarayam. The whole material world, it becomes, which is very difficult to cross over if one takes shelter of Murari, becomes just like the water in a calf's hoof print. There's a devarshi bhutapta nirnang pitrinang nakinkaro nayam ranisharajan. Sarvatmana ya sharanang, so that's the right verse. Sharanang sharanyam gatoma kundam parihritya karatam. Yeah, if we fully take shelter in he who is worth taking shelter of, then we don't have to take shelter of Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to fulfill our debt to various persons. Sharanam sharanyam, we should take shelter of Mukunda, the giver of liberation. So instead of being tied up and let go 17 times by Krishna, he let him go. He tied him up and let him go. So in this way he gave him mukti. But he didn't get the right consciousness. I should take shelter of Krishna. So this word is very important, Durasha, because we can see through the eye of Shastra that the whole material world is running on this hope, isn't it? This hope that I will be happy. We will do it together. Maybe it's not just one, maybe it's a group. Together we shall overcome. We shall overcome with hope in our heart. We do declare the truth shall overcome someday. Some hope that they're going to be happy in this material world. But the very nature of this material world is to frustrate our desires. So, Durasha. Very good. If Prahlad Maharaj's instructions are so important, so incisive. He was just a young boy and Hiranyakashipu was giving instruction through the sons of Shukracharya. Thought this is great education, but he just missed the whole point. Just like the scientists, they're studying and they're so proud we understood so many things, but they missed the whole point. They missed the point that behind everything is Krishna. And so they have so many things that they don't understand. And what's the universe made out of? Where's all this dark energy and dark matter? Must be there, otherwise our theories don't work. It's a strange approach to science. We have a theory and it doesn't work, so we have to make up some invisible matter to make it work. Durasha, they're hoping to find it. They're hoping to find that most of the universe is made up of things which we've never seen, touched, smelled, tasted. But it must be there, otherwise our theories don't work. This is called Durasha. The very idea that we'll understand everything is another foolish idea, because only Krishna can understand everything. So the idea that by science we'll discover so many things, all Durasha. But it's very difficult to convince people that that you're running on the wrong way. It's very difficult, you're going out and meeting people and generally people think, oh, religion, that will help us to live. Pious people, they think, well, by religion we'll go on with life and we'll be more happy in this world. But they don't understand that this world is not meant for our happiness. That we're the very hope that we'll be happy in this material world is simply durasha, bad hope. It will not be fulfilled. They themselves are miserable. They see others are miserable. Or they may look happy. They put on some show of happiness. But everything ends in misery. The happy young child becomes a healthy youth, or actually nowadays they're most, even in young age, they're all unhealthy, isn't it? Children, there's a whole branch of medicine. What is that called? Pediatrics? The mothers should know. Pediatrics, that's just for children's diseases. They're always getting sick. Then they get a little older, and then they look very nice. Look very nice. We got any youths here? 15, 16, 17, that should be the time of life when they look the best and then they start deteriorating, and then old and deteriorate. But the youth, it's a time of great hope that, oh, now I'll find the life's partner who is just meant for me and we'll live happily together. And they marry, and there's a big celebration, and oh, how wonderful, how happy. Shubha Lagna, it's on the auspicious time. Lagan, it's called in Hindi, the time of marriage. Shubha Muhurta, very, very good. Oh, how wonderful. And they're all dressed up and smiling. And what's ahead of them? That means they've got to work and do some miserable job to get some money and just anxiety, beginning, middle, and end. But somehow they call it Shubha. It's just it's a mass delusion. Everyone joins in this big illusion that actually it's going to be wonderful and happy. Where does this idea come from? It must just be Maya, that's all. Because who's happy? It's just one big strain and grind and stress all the way through. But it, again and again, isn't it? Every marriage, no one comes and says, well, my son, yes, you're going to have a miserable life and give you my blessing. And no one says like that. Congratulations. What congratulations? Congratulations for what? What did you do? What is there to congratulate? But everyone thinks, yeah, very happy. Joyful occasion. Sorry, Grihastha. We have to say these things. You know, we can't always say Bhaktivinoda Thakur, pure devotee, you're just like him. Let's be a little realistic also. It's not as blissful as it's made out to be. Ah, big celebration. And the first child is born, and then that's another big celebration. But it means the child, more anxiety, more headache, and more difficulty. And the child grows up, sees the pediatrician, and crying all the time. And they take a photo when the child's smiling, but most of the time they're crying. When they're babies, they all look very cute, isn't it? Is there any word in Tamil for cute? Probably not. They look sobham, something like that. They look very nice. Even little dogs, little puppy dogs or little cats, they look very nice. They're very hopeful, isn't it? Little puppy dogs wagging their tail, looking very happy and hopeful, and oh, life's so wonderful. And they're playing. They are the epitome of durasha, that we shall be happy. But they're not happy. Gradually they become, as the little baby look is very, very innocent, but gradually they, as they grow up, they get to know what the world's all about really. And they're not so innocent. And they're not so attractive. They're not so hopeful. The idea that we shall all be happy in this world. But it doesn't stop. You might think that, well, okay, I've been in this world, I've seen it, I know what it's all about. People go on. Up to the point of death, they pursue material happiness. Srila Prabhupada several times gave the example. It's right there in the beginning of his Nectar of Instruction purport, that old men in the Western countries, they pay $50, it's probably $500 now, to enter some nightclub, just to go in. And then they see naked girls, and they drink wine, and they're not in any physical condition to indulge their desire, but still they... And nowadays you wouldn't even bother going to a nightclub, you just get on the internet, right, and everything's there. Whatever in the perverse way they want to see. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example that there was some Marwari man, rich man, who spent a huge amount of money, went to Switzerland and had an operation for putting monkey genitals to replace his own genitals, with the idea that at 80 years old he could go on enjoying sex life. Such foolishness. I don't know, Srila Prabhupada told that story several times. I guess it didn't work because you don't hear about, maybe it was an experiment or something, because you don't hear about people having monkey genitals put on. It's not become a popular operation. So people, they go on to the last point, hoping against hope, that, oh, yeah, I'm 80 years old, but let me get some monkey genitals, or I'll go to the club and see some naked woman. And the women, they paid money to go around like this, and it's foolishness. because they take their real self-interest to be something other than serving Vishnu, and therefore they take that which is external to them, bahir, the body, to be the receptacle, to be the vehicle for their happiness, and therefore it must be frustrated. If one understands this simple point, that we are not the body, save us so much trouble. Because everything we're doing, we're trying to be happy via the body. And if we understand it's not me, I have nothing actually to do with this. That means that save us so much trouble, especially in the modern age where this sense gratification is promoted so much. You will be the idea, you will be happy by indulging your senses. If we just understand this simple point, I'm not the body, then we save ourselves so much trouble. And we can actually enter into our real asha. Our real desire is to attain service to Vishnu. If we understand we're not the body, that's a good start. But over and above that, if we understand I'm meant for serving Vishnu, then we enter into our actual happy life, which is our natural condition to serve Krishna. And it's pratyakshagdavamam dharmyam susukam kartamavya. And we can practically experience this kirtan is very happy. That happiness doesn't come exactly from banging on drums and shouting as loudly as you can. There are so many people, in India it's very common, people bang on drums and yell and sing and dance, this wedding. I think in South India, not in North India, they have this barat, and they're all jumping around and dancing and drums and lots of noise. But that's not blissful, that's not spiritual. But devotees, they do, they're singing and dancing, but that the happiness in kirtan comes from the sense of when one has a sense of service to Krishna. It's not exactly a musical performance. But those who have a strong sense of service to Krishna, then they'll experience Krishna's reciprocation in the kirtan. That's why that was very noticeable in the... we used to go out, I'm talking about in Europe in the 1970s, when we used to, all the brahmacharis used to go out for distributing books, and they'd come back after 1 week or 2 weeks, and then after that sacrifice and hard work with distributing books, and they'd come back and the kirtans would just make the whole building shake, because the bliss of Krishna's reciprocation, when they've been trying to glorify Krishna, taking great austerities to try to glorify Krishna by distributing these books about Krishna, and then Krishna manifests himself in the kirtan and in the hearts of the devotees. So they may not be very expert musically, but the kirtan is very blissful because Krishna manifests. So because people are selfish, they take their swarth, my self-interest is something other than Krishna, then their hopes for a happy life are impossible to fulfill. And if we see someone who's very selfish, you probably don't say that in Tamil, do you? Swartha, do you say that? Probably not. In other languages, they say. In Hindi, swart. It's a common word and not very good. If someone is swarthy, they're too much interest, selfish. Such a person is never happy. He's always thinking of his own, how I can get what I can for myself. I'm going to read a little bit from one of Srila Prabhupada's talks. What is this durasha? The durasha is that we want to be happy. We want happiness, right? And that happiness comes from Krishna. So I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada about that happiness, Krishna's pleasure potency. Krishna has this pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti. So Srila Prabhupada says, that the pleasure potency is not painful to Krishna, obviously, but it is painful to us conditioned souls. Krishna's pleasure potency is painful to us because we are conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada goes on, it will give him pain, so many after effects. So because instead of directing our sense of pleasure toward Krishna, how Krishna can be happy, we're trying to directly enjoy that potency. And this is what happens. The pleasure potency becomes a source of pain for us. So Srila Prabhupada said, it will give him pain, so many after effects. Sex life, even if it is not illicit, still it is painful, the after effects. You'll have to take care of the children. You have to bear children. That is painful. You have to pay the hospital for delivery, then education, doctor's bills, so many pains. So this pleasure, sex pleasure, is followed by so many painful things. Tapakari. The same pleasure potency is there in the living being in little quantity. And as soon as they utilize it, as soon as one tries to utilize that pleasure propensity for one's own enjoyment, Srila Prabhupada says it becomes painful. And the same pleasure potency in the spiritual world, Krishna's dancing with the gopis, that is not painful. That is pleasing. If a diseased man takes nice foodstuff, it is painful, more sick. It's a pleasure, nice food stuff. So I'm sick, but I eat some nice food, then immediately you get more sick. Therefore, this life is meant for tapasya, not to accept, but to voluntarily reject pleasure. It doesn't seem to make sense, does it, to voluntarily reject pleasure? But then if we understand that this pleasure gives me pain, and to get free from pain eternally, I have to accept a little pain in the form of tapasya. Tapo divyam putraka yena satram shudyat yasmat brahma sokyam tvananta. If we understand that, I have to accept a little voluntarily refraining from sense pleasure. And that is the entrance into spiritual pleasure. So, because people are durasha, they have the wrong idea desiring in the wrong way. Therefore, what happens? That's described in the previous verse, the verse previous to this. This natavidu swadagating hi vishnum is another well-known verse. Matiyana krishne paratas vatova mitho pipadyeta grihavritama. Adanta gobhya vishatanta misram punah punas charvita charvananam. Persons who are inimical to the sense of Krishna consciousness, who are determined not to be Krishna conscious by any means, they will enter into hell because of their uncontrolled senses and repeatedly chew that which is already chewed. So this is durasha, to chew that which has already been chewed. We already, so many times we tried to be happy in a materialistic way, enjoying the senses, and again we try, and we think, let us be happy in this way. But people don't even know that they're doing it. Unless we hear from Bhagavatam, we won't know, will we? Before coming to Krishna consciousness, of course, some of you came at a very early age, some of you here, by your parents' blessings or whatever. We may have had a general sense that there's something not really right in the material world. But to this exact analysis, we have to take education from Bhagavatam. It won't be there. It won't just come automatically to our minds. This, how we're trying again and again to be happy in the material world, and again we're not happy, but still we're hopeful foolishly. We don't even notice. We don't even notice that we're trying to be happy, we're not happy, or we get a tiny little bit of happiness. And for that we have to suffer so much distress. And then, but we take that little bit of happiness to be all in all. I have a big car I can drive around in, and then I feel some sense of superiority to others. Isn't it? In the expensive car, they have all these little gadgets, but it's not the gadgets that give you pleasure. It's the pleasure of thinking that I'm better than others because I have a more expensive car. But how much you had to work to get that car? I'm just born in a rich family. But to be born in a rich family, you had to do something in the previous life, some pious activities like this. So what is it? It always seems fresh. It always seems, we get new bodies one after the other, and each life we become very hopeful. So that people say, why we're born again and again? Because we have so many desires, and it seems very fresh. Fresh start. Okay. I got smashed again and again and again and again throughout my life. Okay, fresh start, and now very hopeful. And again, smashed again, 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 and again die, and again hopeful, like this. So it's a case of paschanapi na paschati. We see, we don't see. We see everyone around us is not happy. I'm not happy, but we're thinking, yes, we shall become happy. Let's vote in a new government, then everything will be wonderful. People still believe it. And even if they do get fed up with it all and they see this is all useless, they still don't surrender to Krishna, then they want to become Krishna. They do something, they think, I'll become God. I'll do some austerities and become God. Because they're Matiena Krishna, they're determined not to be Krishna conscious. So what's the solution to all this? Well, there's this Matiena Krishna verse. The next verse is Nati Vidu Swajagating Hi Vishnum. So Prahlad Maharaj is briefly but very precisely analyzing the whole situation in the material world, and then what's the solution to all this? That comes in the next verse that he gives. Naishamatistava Durukramangrims, you know it? Prishatyanartha. Listen to that word, anartha, anartha. Artha, nate, swartha. The idea of swartha, I will be happy in this material world, is anartha. It's a wrong idea. Sprishatyanato pagamang yadartha. Again, the word artha comes. You're reading it in your computer there. Mahiyashan padarajo bishekam. I got it here. Niskinchenanam navrinita yavat. That one's not quoted so much, but it's really it's the solution to all the problems. Srila Prabhupada's translation of this verse. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav completely free from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way, can one be freed from material contamination. So that's the solution. Instead of placing our hopes in material happiness, prarthana karaye shada narottamadas, always pray, narottamadas, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhur das eranudas, prarthana karaye shada narottamadas. Narottam Das, this is my asha, he says, to be placed at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very famously, at the end of almost every verse, in every chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what is that verse? Anyone? Sri Rupa, Rupa Raghunatha Padejar Arsh, Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Das. So placing my asha, my faith, my hope, my aspirations in the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, Krishna Das Kaviraj recite Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is the solution. This is the real hope. This, we can actually be hopeful. Even if we're hopeless, even if we have no real... If we think of our own qualities, then we should think, I'm hopeless. yoga da bichare kichu nahi pai tomara karuna sa. But we have hope that because Krishna is very merciful, then he will deliver. This is our hope. Ashabandha, that's described, is it? Among the nine symptoms of devotee in the level of bhava bhakti. He thinks himself very fallen, but he has great hope that Krishna will deliver me. Hare Krishna. So we'll have another session then, because now it's almost time for Tulasi Arati, and then there'll be Sandhya Arati. Then we can continue. That is our hope. Everything is in Krishna's hands. But if things go as expected, then we should continue. Hare Krishna. So in little less than an hour, we should be continuing.